You're sitting here going, man, really?
Yeah.
And I'm going to give y'all some, I'm going to give you some basis for that. I've got a lawyer mindset. I like to make a case. If y'all don't know this about me, I'm a very skeptical by nature person. Every time I take a spiritual aptitude test, I get Thomas every time. My feet will always be going in the right direction, but my mouth and my attitude won't always be going in the right direction. Anybody else got that problem? In 2005, you might as well not even look at your John chapter 2. I'm going to try to get there, but I'm going to try to explain something I've seen today. And try to help you. In 2005, July 6th, no, let me go back. August 28th of 2004 is when I got saved. Miraculously saved. I was a liar, a thief, and adulterer at heart. A little boy got killed. I tried to save his life. God, in the process, saved me. I know that day. I'll never argue with you about it. I never tell anybody. Somebody else said, well, I don't believe you got saved. I don't believe you're going to heaven. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't care. That happened. That's the day I got born again. Okay? We can argue about God. We can talk about Scripture. You can take Scripture, turn it this way, that way. I don't care. That's the day I got saved. That's the day Kevin Shelton that everybody else knew came to an end. That's the day I repented of everything I ever done, everything I will do, and everything that I could even possibly. I tried to disqualify myself from heaven, and God loved it. Simply forgave me of all my sin, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and unfortunately for you that are saved and here today, you'll spend eternity with me. And I'm not, we'll never argue about that. You can say this about me or say, but I don't care. That's where we're going to be. I'm going to be in heaven. So, that's how I fully believe in Jesus Christ. July 2005, around the 6th of that time, I got called to preach. I knew I was supposed to preach since I was 8 years old. There were random times throughout middle school, high school, and even the Marine Corps that if I got around the Spirit of God, something would click on the inside of me and I would start talking for God, even though I was lost as a goose. I would have friends of mine and family members say, Are you a believer? And I'd go, no. No, what was that all about? I don't know. I couldn't explain it. I have a gift, and God says the gifts and callings are without repentance. And I knew I was supposed to be preaching since I was 8. I didn't get saved till I was 30. So about a year after that, about 2005, July 6th, me and my wife, I'm not telling y'all the whole story on all these. I'm just giving you a little overcast. Me and my wife are going to church. She worked second shift. I worked first shift. I watched the kids at night. I would take them to church. But we knew that God was building me up to have me called to preach. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know when. That particular night, my wife was getting ready for work. I opened the Bible to John 14 and started reading out loud for no good reason. I would break down every few minutes. I would start breaking down. I'd start weeping before God. So I got through like John chapter 15, reading like a foolish man in my house about John 14, just reading out loud for the whole family to hear for no good reason. And my wife said, I'm calling into work. I'm going to church with you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. We need the money. We were broke poor back then. I told her, this will be relevant to what I'm about to tell you tonight. I told her, if I ever do start preaching, I will preach about the two thieves on the cross. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. The first message I'll ever preach will be the two thieves on the cross. You got that? Put that in your feather cap right there. Well, we got in a car. We rode out. We were going to Cleveland, Tennessee to be in church at the time. We were 50 miles away. So we load up the car. We go out, and we stop at the mailbox at the end of our road. And I get out, and I get a letter out of there from my dad, who's in full-time ministry in Nashville, Tennessee. in the prison ministry. And I said, and the Holy Spirit's all over me. I mean, he's just sitting down. I'm like, ugh. I hand her the letter, and I said, I know what we can do. You read the letter to me, and that'll kind of quench what's going on. I don't know what's happening. She's like, okay. So she opens the letter, and she begins to read it. And then all of a sudden, she just closes it back and puts it in my Bible. And I went, hey, I'm kind of going through a meltdown here. Would you please just, like, read the letter? I need something to get my mind off what's happening. And she's like, no, we'll just read it later. Okay. We pull out. We're heading towards Cleveland, and all of a sudden, this TV evangelist, what's a guy? Oh God, I don't even want to say it. I used to not say it. Of all the people, Jimmy Swaggart. So I know why you're laughing. I did the same thing. I didn't even put this in part of the testimony for a long time. We pull out. We're driving up through there, and all of a sudden, there's Jimmy Swaggart on the road, Sun Life Radio. We drive about a quarter mile, and he says this. He says, you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God if you're going to preach the gospel, and the radio cuts off. I drove for another 15 to 20 minutes, barely being able to see out of my eyes. I'm crying so hard. These are all true, so they're not. We get up to Cleveland. I go in the church, sit down in the pew where I always sit, and I told God, I said, I'm not interrupting this service. You have to find some other day to do this. We're not doing this. I'm not making a spectacle out of this. All of a sudden, we're sitting there, and this lady gets up and says, I got to sing a song. It's burdening my heart. Kathy Hyneman. The song is, You've Been Called Out. I said, will you please sit down? And then all of a sudden, I made a deal with God. I said, God, here's how it's going to go down. If you want me to preach, you're going to have to get that preacher to point at me and say, Kevin, do you have anything? I said, good chance of that, buddy. They sung, We've Been Called Out. I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit sits down on me like a ton truck. Sits down on me. I couldn't lift my arms. I couldn't lift my legs. And there was a groaning on the inside of me that I've never heard. I've heard my voice. I've heard myself upset. I've heard myself mad. I've heard myself broken. I've never heard that voice. And there was a groaning and an utterance on the inside of me. Phil, get mad about that if you want to. That's what my story is. I will not back up on it. There was a groaning on the inside, and I heard it. And I said, God, will you please get off me? You are heavy. And all of a sudden, the pastor gets up and starts walking up to the front of the church and opens his Bible. And I said to myself, thank you, Jesus. He opens his Bible, and Mr. Wayne Hyman raises his hand in the front. And I said, shut up, Wayne. He said, brother, I just want to testify to the glory of God. And then there was another man. Robert. Melissa's been through all this. Brother Robert spoke in an English accent. He was from Cleveland, Tennessee. I can't figure it either. He was the driest man I ever met. He was so rude and weird and everything else that here's what I said when he started talking. I said, thank God. If anybody can quench this, it'll be Brother Robert. I'm just being real with you tonight. I'm going to shoot you straight. Brother Robert said, Tim, brother. I was like, yes, sir. I said, Melissa, hand me my Bible. And I looked over at her, and I seen this look on her face. She handed me a Bible, and here's what I thought. I said, with Brother Robert and the help of my dad's letter from the church, from the prison ministry, I can stop this whole thing from happening. I opened that Bible, pulled that letter out, and there was a letter from my dad that talked about all the people he had ministered to in the prison and all the things he was doing in the prison. And he gets down there to the bottom of it, and he said, I guess you ask yourself, how do you do all this? He said, it's simple. And it starts out in Luke, and it says it's just like the two thieves on the cross. And I looked over at her, and I went, you knew. And she said, yeah, I did. Folded the letter up, closed it, bowed my head with the Holy Spirit sitting flat on me, and I said, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I surrender to this calling. I don't even know what it is. I said, but you still got one thing you've got to do. And Tim Woody, the pastor at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, closes his Bible verbatim, word for word, sitting on this front row, says, Kevin, do you have anything? And I got up and preached the two thieves on the cross for the very first time I'd ever preached. In 2007, I was given the opportunity to go into full-time ministry. There was a day I went down to Providence every day on my lunch break and ministered to guys that were going through the program and homeless people. I did that every day for 3 years. I knew every day I did the same exact thing. I went in, got my lunch tray. I got my food. I went in and I sat with men, and I would sit there for 20 or 30 minutes, and I would then go talk to each man that was on break about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and then I would go to so many homeless people, and then I would have just enough time to run out and get in my car, drive back to work, run up to the clock, and clock in. Did this every day for 3 years. I'm telling y'all some crazy stuff right here. Y'all are going to have to stretch your belief in Christ just a little bit. One day, at the end of my day, I'd done all the things I'd normally done at Providence. I was walking to my car, and Brother Roy stopped me as I was going out the door. He said, Kevin, come here a minute. I don't have a minute. I've got 3.5 minutes. I've done it so many times. I'm running to the clock, and I've got time to swipe and go in. But something said, go in the room. I went in the room. I sat in that room for 25 to 30 minutes, and Brother Roy showed me the whole ministry and said, I believe this is where you're going to do ministry for a good long while. I've been attached to that ministry ever since I've been in full-time ministry. Even when I came here, I'm still on the board of directors of that ministry still to this day. When I walked off that property, God said, this place is for you. But I stayed in that office. We went in the sanctuary. We walked around. We prayed. We came back. And this is the only thing that I was thinking in my head. When we get back to work, I'm going to get fired. So they better have a full-time ministry job for me because I'm going to get fired. I left his office. I got in my car. I drove to the workplace. I got up to the workplace, and I clocked in. When I looked at the clock was exactly the time that I had to clock in. I looked at it 10 times. It was my lunch hour. It was 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock. I walked all the way down to my job and walked in there and stood there for like 5 minutes going, what in the world is happening? Some of y'all are sitting here going, oh, Kevin, you just messed the time. There's no possible way. I've done it a million times in my head. God changed everything that day. In 2020, if y'all don't know this, I had a heart attack. I never knew what the word, a peace that passes all understanding, meant until I rode in a back of an ambulance from downtown Dunlap to Erlanger at about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And God gave me a peace. I laid back in that bed, and I didn't care if I lived or died. I didn't care. The only thing I asked God for, selfishly, was I really would love to see my son grow up. But if I don't, I know you can raise him. And I really love my wife. She's been the love of my life, and I would love to see her again. But then, as soon as I said that, a peace came over me, and I've never felt anything like that. I preached about the peace of Jesus, but I had never truly, fully experienced it in my life until that day. And now when I mention it, I don't talk about it the way I did before I preached it then. I talk about it from that experience. That was a real experience. I watched my whole catheter service where they put all the stents in. I watched it on TV. I laid there and was like, now that is awesome. The guys usually, people don't usually just watch the whole thing. Yeah, but I am, and this is cool. Anyway. Sunday, March 19th. I seen the real true power of Jesus' name. Sitting right here, an hour after service, when we seen two people back to back that had devils in them and no longer have devils in them. Amen. Never in my life have I seen it, experienced it, or not, but I sat right there with somebody's story who needs to tell it better than me, and watched the name of Jesus Christ drive a devil out, if not more than one, out of their life. And seven souls sat here and watched a miracle. We all sat here and watched a miracle. And I've said wow like 33,000 times since this afternoon. I sat there going, God, we're not supposed to be doing this. You know, I've kind of got like a Baptist background, and all these people will be wondering how and why and where. But the one thing that I can't get over, as we were sitting there with my hands on this person, I felt it leave. I felt it go, and I said it, and I said, it is gone. And she said, it is gone. Twenty-five minutes later, I walked out into that vestibule and told three or four people what was happening in here. I walked outside. I walked in my office. I walked back outside, and I started to come back in here, and I seen a mother and daughter standing in the hallway, and they were face to face. This one of the two girls that I had told about what has happened in here, and I seen a look on her face that I had just seen a few minutes before sitting right there. I walked back in this room, and I sat right there for a second, and next thing you know, the mother and daughter walked in this room and said, there is another one. In her. And in the name of Jesus Christ, it left too. I'm not debating. I'm not arguing. I'm not telling you we are this or we are that. But I've experienced some things in my life that I won't lie about, I won't cover up or hide, or I won't doubt. That's the newest one. I stood right here. Sunday, March 19th, 2023. I seen the real power of the name of Jesus Christ. A message as I've been preaching for almost 18 years. There's power in the name of Jesus, and every devil will tremble and fail. Listen, I've seen a devil. I've seen a demon. Who said, I have to go because of that name. We're sitting here, and you're looking at me, and I'm looking at you. I never in a million years would have thought we'd be talking about this tonight. But since I've covered this information with you, I want to share this with you. This will relate all the way back. Remember when I told you that I told her about the message if I preached about the two thieves on the cross? 3 or 4 weeks ago, leaving this very church, I said, God has told me, either before, during, or after, we're going to see the manifestation of demons in our church. I said, I don't know why, I don't know how, and I don't know what it looks like, but it's going to happen, and we're going to see it, and I know we've got to be prepared for it. And I told her more than one time in the last 3 weeks, just like any of this other stuff, I told her, it's like a bell going off every day. I hear it. It's going to happen. Today was the day. Yes, please. And if you're sitting here going, well, that Kevin boy, he really wants to. I am the most skeptical person. I was in a tent revival in Alabama. I preached there 3 or 4 nights. They'd done some stuff that I didn't feel comfortable with. I stepped outside the tent. I said, God, that ain't me. I ain't doing that. You know what God said? Good. You stay right outside the tent. You do what I put you in the lane that I put you in. So I asked him about this today. I said, God, how about this? He said, you're the perfect person to do it. Most people know you by now. So they'll know. If I'm doing it through you, then I'm doing it. Amen? And I want you to, I heard that come out of my mouth. I didn't do anything. I'm being honest with you. What I did with 7 other people is we sat here and prayed and prayed and prayed until Jesus done what he done. That's what happened. I heard it in my own voice. I'm just telling you right now, we just threw Jesus' name out there over and over and over until the devil said, I got to go home or go wherever he goes. Whew. Does anybody got anything they want to share, add to? Yeah. Please do.